I want to begin by actually going back last week to when Matt spoke to us, and many of you filled out a little card talking about some of the things that are on your heart. And about 150 people turned something in. And I want you to know that the pastoral staff is reading through those and is lifting you up in prayer. And some people signed them, but most people just turned them in. And there's a lot of heavy stuff that many of us are facing. And I would even say that some of you didn't turn some in, and you're probably in denial, and the rest of you are probably lying. Because life is pretty tough sometimes, isn't it? We all go through different trials in our life where it's just overwhelming. And you remember a sermon back again where Matt talked about that God will never give you more than you can handle.
I did not say that.
And he said, and that's not true. You have to be patient and listen. One of the things I say in missions, you need four things if you're going on a mission trip. Patience, 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 and flexibility. And I think that's true in life, don't you think? That's true in life as we face the obstacles, the struggles, the trials, that we need to be patient and we need to be flexible. And I want you to know that you are not alone, that many of us, all of us, are going through different struggles, different trials. And we can bring them to the Lord and find a sense of hope, encouragement, peace, and strength. I want to share with you, though, quickly that some of us have struggled wrestling the difference between Holy Spirit conviction and condemnation. If God has put something on your heart and you're kind of wrestling with it, and you know it's something that I probably should work on, I probably should be moving forward with, probably need some help in it, and you know it's going to lead you to a better place, that could be God speaking to you, giving you a little nudge, encouraging you. You need to move forward. You need to be active in this. You need to try and work through these issues. Those are good things. But if you are hearing a message of unworthiness, that you are a failure, that everything you do is wrong, that you're never going to amount to anything, that life is just overwhelming and I cannot get through it, that is not from God. That is not from God. Those thoughts need to be cast out and rebuked, and we can rebuke them in Jesus' name. Scripture tells us to rebuke those things, to rebuke the devil, and he will flee. Now, I was a little nervous of that at first, and I started actually saying, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke those thoughts. Have any of you ever done something like that? I really would encourage you, when you're facing those trials, when you're facing those fears, when you're facing those struggles, say those words. You think, oh, that's a little uncomfortable. That's not who I am. I don't want to do that. I would encourage you to try that. Start slow, start soft. I'm hoping you won't do it in the middle of my sermon here today, but you need to start somewhere. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke those fears. I want you to pray about that and think about that. You are made in the image of God, and you are filled with the love and grace of God. You need to believe that is true. You need to claim that is true. You claim it and believe it, and you can begin living a life that demonstrates that that is true. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, we've been talking about the heartbeat of God as we've been looking through 1 John. And this morning, I'd like to talk to you about the word love. The portion of the text we are looking at is 1 John 4, 7 through 21, and is labeled God's love and ours. Love is an amazing word that conjures up all kinds of images and thoughts, isn't it? When you think of the word love, our mind can go in 100 different directions. It was such a complicated word, and we just say love. And yet the Greeks used over 7 different words to express what love might mean to them. So I want to look at those, a few of those quickly today. And the one I'm sure we've all heard of many times is agape. Agape is an unconditional love, a love that God has for us, expecting nothing in return, to love the unlovable, to love the struggles and the hardships, and loving you first before we even began to love him back. This is an amazing love, and I don't think we can even begin to comprehend it or express it without the power of the Holy Spirit in us and living through us. Agape, expecting nothing in return, but offering all that we have. Another one is phileo, which is a deep friendship of loyalty, of sacrifice. They talked about this in the days of old, the knights who would pledge their allegiance to the crown or to the king, and knights that would work for each other in the army, in the services, in different places, a deep brotherly love, a deep sisterly love of compassion and sacrifice. But even in this, there's a little bit of a mutualistic expectation. I will do this, but I'm kind of expecting something in return. But I will sacrifice because of my love for you. An offshoot of that is stergos, which is what they've referred to a lot of parental love. We think we love our children unconditionally, don't we? And then they do something we're not real thrilled about, and we realize maybe there are some conditions that we have in there. But again, it is a deep sacrificial love that you would do anything for your children up to a point all of a sudden. So again, there's this mutual expectation, not unconditional as God's love is for us. And then eros, a romantic love, emotion and passion. But we have to realize that sometimes it's irrational, isn't it? Sometimes this passion and emotion can get us into a lot of trouble. Think of the kingdoms that have been lost and destroyed through romantic love taken out of context. When we use this passion, this excitement, in a way that goes outside the bounds of what God had intended it to be, in a loving, sacrificial love between a man and a woman, it's wonderful, but it can also be very destructive. Then we have ludus. I'd never heard of this one before. This is a playful love, like between children or young lovers, laughing and playing and teasing and flirting. It's a more innocent love that can then lead to other forms of love. And then pragma, which means long-standing and long-lasting, a deep understanding, often talked about with married couples that have been married for many years. Pragma, the root of being very pragmatic, you know, able to compromise, able to work through things. Marriage counselors say that if people would spend more time learning how to stand in love and less time in their romantic love, that relationships would be a lot better, wouldn't they? And then philautia, I'm not sure I'm saying that right, but this is a self-love, which can be both good and bad. If it's a self-love that leans to being narcissistic, that it's all about me and I'm all that matters, then that's not good. That's harmful. But if it's a self-love that tells you that you are worth something, you're made in the image of God and God loves and values you, and you feel good about yourself, you can then take that and then love others. You can't really love someone else if you don't love or like yourself. So these are both good things, and it's a double-edged sword, and you have to keep them in context. L-O-V-E, love. What an amazing word, isn't it? It means so many things to us and conjures up so many ideas. So what do we do with this? Love can lift you to soaring heights. Love can soften the hardest heart or soothe the tormented soul. It can make you smile ear to ear as you watch your children playing or doing something. Love can be fulfilling. Love can overcome. Love can be powerful and bold and yet soft and intimate. When I started reading through this, it often reminds me of 1 Corinthians 13, the 13th chapter that we hear it read many times at weddings. All the characteristics and traits that we think of when we think of love. And that verse ends with, "And now these things remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Today we are looking at 1 John 4, 7 through 21. So please follow with me in the Bible or on the screen. And I'm going to read through this. So listen and read through this with me. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God and hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love his brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Wow. Isn't that a lot to work through? You could probably preach 6 or 7 sermons off of that text alone. One time I thought, well, let's just read through this a couple more times and we can all go home. But the Lord has placed a few more things on my heart that I would like to share with you today. There is so much here. It is a promise and insight and love that God has for us. Every one of these words of love that's in this text comes from the root word agape, God's unconditional love. This is talking about God's love for us that goes beyond anything we can imagine or begin to comprehend. He's calling us to love others in that same way. And we can't. We really can't unless God lives in us, unless we invite him into our hearts, unless we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives to say, change me, transform me, mold me, make me into the person you've called me to be. God's amazing love. But what I'd like us to focus on is go back to verse 12, and you read these words. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. God lives in us. The creator of the universe wants to dwell and live in us through the power of his Holy Spirit. If we claim him as our Lord and Savior, God enters into our life and begins to empower us, to help us, to guide us, to direct us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to be the people that he has called us to be. We cannot do this on our own. And that's how you're allowed or enabled to love those who aren't very lovely sometimes. We've all faced that, haven't we? We've all sometimes looked at our children and thought, We've wondered, now I know why some animals eat their young. And yet you see the love of God and you feel the love of God. We look at our spouses, who at one time we can't imagine how we could ever be without. And then sometimes we imagine, how could we ever continue to be with them? And how do we work through that? How does life face these things? You know, I always think back, I'm going off script now, but I always remember back in the days of Happy Days. Any of you watch Happy Days? And the Fonz would get up in front of the mirror like he's going to comb his hair, and all of a sudden it's like, hey. It's like, it just doesn't get any better than this. You know, how could you improve on perfection? And some of us feel that way, don't we? Some days we get up and it's, life couldn't be better. And then someone will say something will happen. Phone will ring, child will do something, something will happen. And you just almost want to crawl into the corner and curl up in a fetal position and rock back and forth and suck your thumb and just say, I can't do this anymore. How do we go from extreme to extreme in such a short time? Life can be difficult, can't it? But you can choose to love, and that's what we're talking about today. God's love with us and in us and being made complete in us. Only through God's love can you change how you feel, and allows you to choose to love. I think the greatest miracle there is a heart transformed by the love of God. So most of us in this room are walking miracles, aren't we? We're living miracles. We have chosen and invited Christ into our life, and our lives have been changed, and we're on this process of dying to self and living in Christ. You are a walking miracle. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a miracle of God. Each of us in this room is a miracle of God. So let's look at this verse again. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. So we've invited God into our life. We're learning to love one another. And his love is made complete in us. That kind of boggles my mind, that God's love is completed in us. The Greek word here for made complete is teleos, which means to bring to full measure. God wants the fullness of his glory and joy and love to be in you. That just blows my mind. Doesn't that just excite you? That God desires his love to be made complete in you? That's his goal. That's his plan. And the way that we know God is living in us is when we love one another. What would that look like if we truly loved one another? If when we face those moments of frustration or temptation or anger, we calm down a little bit, rebuked it in the name of Jesus, if that's what you need to do, and called upon God to help you through those times, and truly begin to love one another when everything within you doesn't want to do that, but you can choose to let God's love rise up in you. The only problem I see is if all the Christians were at a four-way stop and we'd all be saying, no, you go first. So there could be some little issues like that, but no, seriously, what would the world look like if everyone began to truly love one another? Relationships would be restored. Marriages would flourish. Divorce would diminish. Parent-child relationships would bloom and grow. Anxiety would be reduced or eliminated. Bullying would stop. Wars would cease. And even our media might have something nice to say about someone. Wouldn't that be a change? Hope would surface around the world and lives would be transformed. I'm going to show you a video clip now of Nick Vove. I can't say his last name. You can, but he's an amazing young man who has chosen to let God's love live in him. He was born with no arms or legs. And at one time, he wanted to die. He wanted to commit suicide. I would encourage you to go online and look him up. He's got tons of videos and video clips. And he will inspire you. He will challenge you. He will convict you to seek God's love and be a person of hope. So let's watch this little video clip.
Made a huge impact on Nick.
I have a choice to either be angry at God for what I don't have or be thankful for what I do have. And my mom, she said, Nick, God's going to use you. I don't know how, I don't know when, but God's going to use you. And those seeds started penetrating in my heart. And that's when I started seeing that there is no point in being complete on the outside when you're broken on the inside. And I found out that God can heal you without changing a circumstance. I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I read John 9 at age 15, where a man was coming through a village, and a man, this blind man from birth, Jesus saw him. People said, why was this man born that way? Jesus said, it was done so that the works of God may be revealed through him. And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. And I believe God breathed in me life and faith. This faith came over me. This peace came over me. And I felt like God answered my question.
And what was the question and what was the answer?
The question was, why? Why did you make me this way? And the answer was, do you trust me? That's the question. And when you say yes to that question, nothing else matters.
But what was it specifically for you that made you say, Lord, I'm going to trust your word because I know it's true. I'm going to trust you even if I don't know what you have in store for me tomorrow.
Right. Because there was nothing else I could find. There was nothing else that could give me peace. I knew arms and legs wouldn't give me peace anyway, arms and legs alone. I needed to know the truth of who I am, why I'm here, and where I'm going when I'm not here. And I haven't found that truth anywhere else but in Jesus Christ.
And it was in Jesus Christ where Nick found the strength to do what many thought would be the impossible.
It's so hard to be strong when people constantly say, you're not good enough, you know, go away, you know, we don't want anything to do with you. Nick, you're a nobody. Nick, you can't do this. Nick, you can't do that. Nick. In life, if you don't know the truth, then you can't be free. Because then you'll believe that the lies are the truth. But once we realize that when we read the Word of God and you know the truth of who you are, I am not a man without arms and legs. I am a child of God. I am forgiven of my sins. I'm an ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm nothing but a servant of the Most High God. This is not about Nick. It's not about Nick's capacity and capability to become this conqueror. I am nothing. I'm nothing. God, though, lives in me, and I now live in His strength. And whatever Jesus conquered, I conquer. I believe if God doesn't give you a miracle, you are a miracle of God for somebody else's salvation. And I thank God that He didn't answer my prayer when I was begging Him for arms and legs at age 8. Because guess what? Because I have no arms and no legs, He's using me all around the world. And we've seen so far, approximately, this is conservative, 200,000 souls come to Jesus Christ for the very first time in the last 6-7 years. And what would you rather? Would you rather have arms and legs, Nick, here on earth and no arms? No. Whatever His will is. Because I'd rather have no arms, no legs temporarily here on earth to be able to reach someone else for Jesus Christ and then spend eternity with them there.
In the last decade, Nick has shared his story in 24 countries to over 3 million people. And whether he's talking to a stadium packed with people or one single person, his heart behind the message is the same.
God loves you, that He hasn't forgotten your pain, He hasn't forgotten your family. And maybe while you're watching this interview, you've compared your suffering to my suffering. And that's not where hope is, to know that someone else, in your opinion, is suffering more than you. That's not where hope is. But hope is in the name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is when you compare your suffering to the infinite, immeasurable love and grace of God. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. I didn't need my circumstance to change. I don't need arms and legs. I need the wings of the Holy Spirit. And I'm flying because I know Jesus is holding me up. Don't give up on God, because God will not give up on you.
Don't give up on God, because God will not give up on you. I don't have arms and legs, but I'm soaring through the wings of the Holy Spirit. Can you claim those words today? I hope and pray you can, or will come to a time when you can do that. Whatever circumstances you're dealing with, I hope and pray that we will learn to rise above those. They're real. And we don't just walk away from them. He's still with no arms and legs. He still has the pain of being teased ever since he was little. He wanted to die and kill himself because, why did God make me this way? And yet, through the power of God's love in him, he found the power to love others, to love those that teased him, to love those that ridiculed him, to love those that said, you can never be anything. You will never amount to anything. And yet God has used him in amazing, amazing ways. Even in all his despair and struggles, Nick chose to love and to have hope. He chose to give of himself to help others and to inspire others. He still has the same problems, but he says they pale in comparison to God's love being made complete in him as he learned to love others. I can't tell you how many times I've thought myself or heard others say that, how can I tell others about God's love or the grace of love? My life's a mess. My life is falling apart. I can't do this. I can't do that. When I get my life together, then I'll be able to tell people of God's great love. Doesn't work that way. Begin loving now, and God will begin putting your life together. I want to challenge you today. I'm going to take a little turn here. Turn off your TV for a week. 90% of that stuff is junk. And I'm going to give you five options that I'd like you to choose from. Number one, or do all five of them. Spend some time with your spouse, your children, or friends. Go for a walk. Play a game. Talk about favorite memories. Look at old family pictures. Read the Bible together and pray as a family. Number two, read the Bible on your own. Meditate. Reflect on God's blessing and his love. Pray and give thanks. Remember what he said, Nick talked about, he'd rather be who he is and feel God's love and presence and be used by God than have his arm or leg. He'd rather be here now for a short time with these struggles than to spend all eternity. He'd rather be in eternity than here now. I'm sorry, reverse those, but you know what I mean. Number three. Go to Right Now Ministry and find a good study to watch. How many of you have logged into Right Now Ministries? It's a free gift from the church. There are countless Bible studies, home group studies, things for children, things for family, wonderful, powerful things that will enrich your mind and inspire your heart and open your mind to God's love and grace and what he can do in you. If you don't have that, send me your email. And I will send you an invite. You have to go online, open it up, and log into it. There are over 10,000 videos in home group studies. You can watch them on your TV. You can watch them on your phone. It will inspire you. It will lift you up. Turn off the TV. You know, there's actually research. I got to remember where I left here when I go on my tangents. They did a study. You can log into this and look into it. They challenged a community they paid them, I don't know how many thousands of dollars. If everybody turned off their TV for a month, crime went down, absenteeism went down, divorce rates went down, It just was unbelievable how many negative things went down and how many positive things rose. Then they found another community that I think was in a foreign country in a developing place. They brought TV in. Crime went up. All the bad things went up and all the good things went down. And as soon as the community that stopped watching TV, where everything good was happening and they went back to normal, everything went back to normal. Crime went up, absenteeism, divorce. I'm telling you, TV is not a good thing. It can offer you some good things, but if you're spending a lot of time on TV, find another alternative. Number four, send some emails or letters to friends and loved ones. All of us can do that. If you're at home, if you're shut in, if you can't, you can always send a message of hope or encouragement to a friend or a family member. And you will be blessed by that, I promise you. When you write something down, I've done that and I almost giggle inside thinking what they're going to think when they get this nice little encouragement. And you'll feel the same way. Send something nice. Send an email to friends or loved ones. Number five, pray that God will open a new door and purpose or adventure for you. I got to admit, the first time I went to Haiti 27 years ago, it was more of an adventure that I could justify because it's a Christian thing. But it changed my life. It opened a door of loving and caring and understanding that I had never experienced before. And God has opportunities for you. I didn't go into this, but you know, Ephesians, I think it's 2:12, I forget. But the one that you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has created in advance for you to do. Every one of us, you will feel joy and happiness and fulfillment when you stretch beyond your comfort zones and go serve someone else. Whether it's your family, whether it's a community, whether it's around the world, find a place to plug in and serve. That's what we're looking at in Missions Fair. So when you leave here, you've got to go out there, walk through all the booths, and say, okay, God, where are you leading me to plug in next? And it could be a mission, it could be a home group, it could be a Bible study, it could be working with our youth, it could be working with our children and family ministries, teaching a Sunday school. We're going to be developing a new senior ministry. So all us, I'm a senior now, and empty nesters, we're going to do some ministries for us to use our gifts and talents. We're not too old to still be used, and there's many things that we can be doing. We want to develop those. We want to encourage those. We want to serve you, but also find places for you to serve. There's so many gifts and talents out there of people that have been helping for years, and now may have said, it's my turn to rest. You know, it's not necessarily your turn to rest yet. There's nothing in there about retirement. All you people that are retired, I've searched the scriptures over and over again. I've never heard the word retire in there. Just some food for thought. Caring ministry, Stevens ministries, United Methodist men, United Methodist women, prayer groups. There are so many ways that you can get involved. God loves you, and he wants you to experience the full measure of his love. Some of you, though, do need to be still and rest a little bit. I don't deny that. Some of us are dealing with some very difficult things, and we need to rest in God, and we need to recover, and we need to find healing, and we need to move forward. But oftentimes, it's in serving others that you begin to heal yourself. So pray about that. Think about that. Some of you need to claim the promises of God and rebuke the negative thoughts and fears that hold you back. Is anything holding you back today from saying, God, I am yours. Use me as you will. Show me what you want me to do. What's holding you back from saying that today? Spend more time in prayer. Again, turn off that stupid TV and the outside things of the world that weigh you down and defeat you. Some of you do need to get up and move. Find ways to use your gifts and talents for the glory of God and building the kingdom. All of us need to find ways to love one another and experience the fullness of God's love. You've heard this before. Matt said it, several other people. There is a place in God's heart that only you can fill. Share God's love with someone and feel God's joy. And let His love be made complete in you and through you.